Baruch, we lift you on high, God, Katarim Bahai Baba, Korohere Bahai Katarim. We ask that only you, God, Katarim Bahai. We bow before you, Most High King. We bow before you, Most High King. We bow before you, Most High King. You deserve it, O God. You deserve it all, O God. The one who reigns eternally, you deserve all the worship. The one who reigns eternally, you deserve all the praise. Ketara rim bahayo katori rim bahayo. Babaru hai katari bahayo. Korore bahayo babaru rim bahayo baba. We welcome you, God. Let's just ask God to fill this place with His Spirit and His power and His presence. On our own, we cannot do anything, but He can do all things. And all we want is Him and His will to be done in our lives and that of people. God, His kingdom to come. In our lives, His kingdom to come. In our lives,
That's the one.
We bless you, O God. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come and do the Father's will. Come and have your way. Come and take the glory. You alone are God. You alone are good. And to you alone, we will continue to give all the praise, the honor, and the worship forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Can we greet each other? Can we be on our feet? Let's just welcome each other into the house of the Lord. Just thank God. Thank you. All right. Can we be on our feet now for a moment? I just want us to just say another word of prayer. Even as the word of God comes to us powerfully today, I want you to prepare your hearts. I want you to prepare your hearts. And so I want you to meditate on God, his word that is coming, that his word will be directed to you. His word will be meant for you. His word will come and transform your life. His word will come and make an impact in your life. That you are not here to meet any man. You are here to meet Jesus Christ. And so you want to have an encounter with him in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. When Peter and John met that man at the gate, beautiful, he says, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have, I give to you. And it says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And so tonight, the man of God is coming in the name of Jesus. And so I want you to prepare your heart to receive. There is a word that is meant for you tonight, and you don't want to leave here the same. Can you lift up your voice? Now, Father, prepare my heart. Father, prepare my heart. Father, speak to me in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you lift up your voice? Bado shada, rekeka bado shende mekapa, lekaya dene nene kapa, repeto shende nene nekanda baba rado shende. In the mighty name of Jesus, send forth your word. Lord, send forth your word. Lord, send forth your word in power. In the mighty name of Jesus. Ma papa boshada. Repetoski antelimeniapa. Repetoshanda kataya. Legada baba zoke peniataba. Repetoskayandebe. Legada da da doshada. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your word come in power. Let the fire of your word renew us and refine us in the mighty name of Jesus. Tonight, let us be transformed, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, speak unto us, Lord. Speak unto us, Lord. Prepare our hearts, O God. Prepare our hearts, O God. Matoshada, repetoska padadaba, lekayandaba doshada, repetoska. In the mighty name of Jesus, ancient words and the truth, changing me and changing you, we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient word impart ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with oh, for the last time, can we say it? Have come we thank you for your presence. How you will go in our midst. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 As we are on our feet, can we welcome our very own, my friend and brother, Pastor Jeshua, as he ministers to us. Amen.
Okay. Do I have to keep this here? Okay, I'm sharing. Try. No, it's okay. No, it's fine. Okay. Sorry, it's fine. We're good. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to continue by singing the very song that Pastor Godfrey was singing, Ancient Words. It was so prophetic, ever true. Changing me and changing you, we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true. Changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Father, we thank you. We have come with open hearts tonight. Truly, let the ancient words, your very words, for all scripture is God's breath. All God's breath and is profitable. Let your word profit us, O God, today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm super excited to be here today. I am. The Bible says that the Lord rejoiced to see the work begin. The Lord rejoiced to see the work begin. And he said to Zerubbabel that the hand which has begun this work will finish it. I believe that the Lord who has started Riverside Worship Ministries will take it where he wants to take it. And where he wants to take it, I know is very beautiful. Amen. I want to thank my brother and my friend, Pastor Godfrey, for the privilege to be here to share the word of God with you, especially all of us who are online and in person as well, the multitudes that are gathered in this room and outside of this room. Hallelujah. And of course, greetings to our first lady, Mama Grace, who is not here right now, but I'm excited about what God is doing with her as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Greetings to you, Audrey. And to everybody online, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Father, speak your word through me. Anoint these lips of clay. Let it be an instrument of a blessing. And to the end, we'll remember to give you all the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to share something briefly. And as I do that, I'm going to be lifting a couple of prayers or prayer points that we're going to be praying. I initially planned to share something on, you know, about us and about God breaking the spirit of delay in our lives. But while I was just getting down from the stairs to come and get in the car to come, the Lord said to me, that's not what I'm asking you to do. And the Lord said to me, I'm asking you to share on shattering the limits, pushing beyond resistance by the power of the word. Breaking limits by the power of the word, if you want. That would be simple. Breaking limits by the power of the word. We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 19, verse 20. For those of you online, I want to encourage you to engage very seriously because this is going to be an eye-opener for you. Acts chapter 19 and verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. King James Amplified. Thus, the word of the Lord concerning attainment of salvation through Christ or eternal life in the kingdom of God grew and spread and intensified, prevailing mightily, prevailing mightily, prevailing mightily, shattering the limits or pushing beyond resistance by the power of the word. For those of you who are of African descent, Ghana or Nigeria or Kenya, there's a song that's popular lately. I can never go back. No, no, it's already too late. It won't make sense. No, no. Why am I going back? No, no. And when that song came after a few weeks, I saw that the song had gone viral. And one day it has like 1,000 views, and the next day it's working in the hundreds of thousands, and the next day it's in several hundreds of thousands, and then I heard it was in a million. So I began to investigate. I began to ask people who are well vested in this online thing, how does this thing work? How does a song come in one day and in 3 weeks is hitting a million? Are they doing something, you know? And they began to explain this algorithm thing to me, that there is a bit of this that can be artificially induced, where people will pay money so that the song or the video will be put in the faces of people. So as many people who click on the video will now, as many people who see on the video will be tempted to click on it, not necessarily watch it, but every click then counts as a view. Then they also shared about the natural phenomenon or the non-artificial one, where if a video is released in a certain geographical location on a certain cell site, and a lot of people begin to watch the video in a concentrated region, then it begins to pop up in the neighborhood. Like, for example, a lot of people in Edri are watching a particular video. If a lot of people are watching in Edri are watching a particular video, what happens is that the algorithm is designed to push that video outside of Edri. So then now people in Calgary will also be watching. And as more people in Edri and Calgary are watching, then the algorithm pushes it to Edmonton, because then the video is naturally getting more likes, more attention. So the more attention the video is getting, the more the algorithm is designed to push it. But that whole thing you're seeing that has gone global began from a small place. Please, I hope somebody online and in person is understanding. So it starts with a constituency of people who are deeply engrossed in watching the video, and then it begins to move outside of a certain territory. And when that thing was explained to me, the scripture that came to my mind was 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says that if my people who are called by my name, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, and they shall pray, and they will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then he says, I, God, will hear from heaven, and I will come down and heal their land. What does this scripture mean? What this scripture means is that the whole city doesn't have to be saved. The whole nation doesn't have to come to know God. If God can find a people, a few people in a small geographical location, it is enough for God to save the entire city. If you can find, so Abraham understood this principle when the angel of the Lord came to him and said to him, there's going to be a destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham began to bargain with God. He knows that when a people of God are in a place, God can take the whole city by a people.
I came to announce to Riverside that we are more than enough for God to use to turn Airdrie around, to turn Calgary around, to turn Edmonton around, to turn Alberta around, and to turn the nation of Canada back to God. All God needs is a concentration of people in a small geographical region, and like a bonfire, it will begin to spread. My prayer is tonight is that we will see ourselves as those people that can start a fire that will begin to spread across the nations of the world, beginning from Airdrie. Beginning from Airdrie. If my people who are called by my name, they will humble themselves and they will pray and they will seek my face. I don't want to get into that text. And turn from their wicked ways. Then humility, prayer and spiritual intimacy. Humble themselves. They will pray and seek my face. It's a sequence. Prayer begins from a place of humility. Oh my God, I don't want to preach this. That when we come, the people of God, come to see that we cannot do it on our own. When we come before God in humility, and we say, God, you have told us you will take this city. You have said that you're creating a river in this city that will make glad even the city of Airdrie. Today I heard, I was talking with one intercessor in this city, and they were telling me that the meaning of the word Airdrie was by some Scottish engineers that were doing the rail from Calgary to wherever. And when they got here, they called the place Airdrie, and the meaning of Airdrie is a city on a hill. So Airdrie itself is a prophetic city. And for those of you who are not in Airdrie, I'm so sorry to bother you with Airdrie, but that's where God lives. But wherever you live, God, I'm sure it has its own significance, but God has an agenda concerning your city, and sometimes two or three people is enough. So this trap of the enemy of making us think that God goes only where the crowd is a lie. God does not need a crowd for his word to spread. There is no amount of crowd that can make God famous. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What we are doing here today has the capacity to affect the entire Canada. What we are doing in this room, what we are doing online, the number of us that are gathered is enough if we can become God's people through humility, through prayer, and through intimacy, seeking the face of God. A nation is not beyond reach if God can find one man. The Bible says that every house is built by one man. Every house is built by one man. And God is the builder or the maker of all things. So all God needs to turn your family situation around. He said, I sought for a man. God has never lacked a plan. He's always looking for a man. God has never lacked a plan. He's always seeking for a man. The challenge in your family, if you can present yourself to God and become a person of God and become the man of God in your family, God through you brings salvation and deliverance to your family. In many places where there are predicaments and challenges, the reason is not because God's ears are too hard to hear or his hands too short to reach, but it is, Bible says that because of your iniquities, men, what is iniquity? What separates us from God? Men who are not close to God. When men become close to God, cities are saved. What will turn our cities around? What will turn the laws of our nations around? What will bring revival? Oh my God, I think my face is looking very white. What's going on?
You look good.
Are you sure? I'm seeing my face in the camera and I'm looking like a ghost. I hope this thing's not on YouTube, bro. It's not YouTube. YouTube, I didn't wake up. Forgive me. Because I'm like, what's wrong?
It's powerful. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My prayer is that, Audrey, God, we'll pray that God starts something with my life that will spread like wildfire. You know, many of us are here. When I see the some of the attitude of some Christians, especially those of us who are of immigrant descent, here in Canada, in North America, and in the West, I really get sad. Many do not realize that it's God who brought us. Many do not realize that God has brought us here for a purpose beyond paying your rent and getting a mortgage. Is that hard to believe? Audrey, talk to me. Is that difficult to believe?
I would say it is new, at least for me. I'm learning it now, but it took 8 years to get there. And we're going to start going here just to go to school and work. And
that's it. It took 18 years to realize that you are not just here to go to school.
Yeah.
One of the ways, I don't know, it's not showing anymore. One of the ways by which, can you check the video is not showing as it used to before. Okay, it's showing?
Yeah, your video.
Yeah, it's showing there. Yeah. Okay, but it's not showing here, so. One of the ways, one of the ways by which the devil robs us of maximum impact is what I call the Gideon syndrome. You remember Gideon in the Bible? The Bible says that in a time of war, Gideon was hiding and he was just threshing some wheat to eat. And when the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, he said, "If God is with us, then why are all these things happening to us?" And God was calling Gideon a mighty man of valor. Which means even though God saw Gideon as a giant, his need for daily bread, his need for wheat had kept him as a presser of the vine for food. The Bible says that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that they possess. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. My prayer tonight is that God will bring us to a place that we can see that there is more to us than daily bread. Yeah. I believe the reason this city has not been reached for God is because God has not found his people. God has not found people. If he has found people, the people are too busy for humility, the people are too busy for prayer, and the people are too busy for seeking the Spirit. Said, if my people, so in every place, God is depending on his people to take the place. My question tonight is, are you a people of God? Do you identify as a person of God? Thank you for putting it on the screen. You know, in the scripture we read in Acts chapter 19, verse 20, the Bible talks about how in the city of Ephesus, the word of God prevailed. There was nothing that was trending in Ephesus apart from the word of God.
how the power of preaching and teaching the gospel can stir a city unto God. How our young men in Edry and Calgary and Alberta can be turned unto God when we engage the power of teaching and preaching the word of God. And how the word of God can break social barriers, cultural barriers, governmental barriers, legal barriers. He said, in the city of Ephesus, the word of God, it grew mightily, and it could know what he was talking about reading again about the word of God. May that be an experience in it. Oh, may that be our experience in Calgary.
Amen.
That because of us, because God has found you, nobody will talk about anything again apart from the word of God. Yeah, that will be our experience.
Amen.
Yeah. If we can take entry for Jesus, we must never downplay the place of the word of God in our generation. Man of God, if this church can take this city for God, you know, I see many pastors who seek for, you are not one of those, so, who are seeking for success without seeking for God. They are seeking for church growth without seeking the word of God. And you see, anything, any fool can have following. It is where you are taking them. If I naked myself and go and stand out there, don't imagine it. If I naked, people will gather. You see, what to do to gather people is not difficult. What to do to transform the lives of people is what we are bargaining for now. So this agenda is not just a church agenda. It's not to make somebody feel successful. It's not to even find daily bread for somebody. It's to ensure that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on, shout amen like a ton. You know, the little trick that the enemy plays in our generation is that he encourages us to preach great sermons which do not service anyone's destiny. Sometimes we think the more complex the message, the more powerful. The more grammar is in the message, the more powerful. We are quick to raise apostles, but we are disinterested in raising disciples. There are many apostles in our days and very few disciples because all of us are not ready to, at the micro level, take the word of God to people. Listen, what changes a city is discipleship and not apostleship. The mark of every true apostle is the ability to raise disciples. So if I can raise you, and you can raise her, and she can raise him, her, and she can raise him, then we can be raising a mighty army. The work will be slow when we seek it from the top down rather than from down up. A true disciple is a lifetime learner. And many people have arrived too early in Christ, and there is no room for the word of God to grow in them. When you see a place where the word of God is not growing and the work of God is not growing, people don't love God, it is because many people have no room in them for the word. When God finds men, men are God's vehicle for the promotion of the word. I pray that God will find you.
Amen.
I said, I pray that God will find you.
Amen.
A time is coming where we'll gather in our hundreds and our thousands. May you be one of the people that God used to raise this agenda.
Amen.
May you be one of the people that God used to raise this movement.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I want us to rise up and pray one prayer before we continue. One prayer. Lord, you said if your people, I want to be your people. I want to be part of your people. I want to be your person. Friends, let me tell you something. I don't like sharing personal testimonies, so I will not. I will not. I don't trust God. I will not. I'm just saying. But I have come to realize in my little life, I've not lived here for long, that a life in the hand of God can never be wasted. It's not a cliche. It's not a church gimmick. I'm telling you, a life in the hand of God, a life being used by God, is not a user and a damper. I should stand in one place. Sorry. It's okay. Please. You can leave it like that. Yeah. So that you don't have to. God is not a user or a damper, my dear. You're welcome. Yeah. God will not use you and damper.
Yeah.
God is not like that. I realize I am at my best use of my life when God is using me. And the truth of the matter is that you don't need to hold a microphone like this for God to use. God can take the city through you. I want us to pray one prayer before I continue. Father, I am available for your use. Man of God, let me say something. Please listen. I've not done church for long, but I can assure you that Riverside will grow slower if you decide to do all the work by yourself. But if we focus on investing in everybody, ensuring that people are seeking God for themselves by the day, this work will grow faster. Yeah. That's the problem. Many of us pastors, we want to create a church, but we want to raise a church. We don't want to raise people. That's not you. I'm just saying that if the people can learn to see God, when God finds, you see, for every person God finds, I always tell people, for every one person, I believe, for every one person God finds, 12 other people are saved. I learned that from Jesus. That God, through Jesus, raised 12 men. God, through those 12 men, saved the world. So if it's a factor tree, do you know a factor tree? If it's a factor tree, there are 12 people at least, 12 disciples. I just use Jesus' model. It's not a doctrine. It's just a model. How I see him live his life. That potentially there can be 12 people that can be won by you. Can you imagine if next week you brought 12? 12, 24, help my math, 36, 60, 72. In 3 months, we can be 72 in this room, I'm telling you. If everybody is to find 12 people you are pouring in, hi, how are you? Good morning. Do you know anything about Jesus? Oh, I don't know anything about, I have nightmares. When I say, oh, can I pray with you? Okay, you know what? On Friday, I want to invite you for a prayer meeting. Just come, let's fellowship, let's hang out. Just, you know, there's too many people going through so much for us not to be. The harvest is truly plentiful. The problem is laborers. Laborers. I want us to pray and say, God, I'm here to labor. I don't know if this is the message you came here to hear today, but that's what I brought. So I hope I'm preaching. I'm up here. Is that the kind of message you preach here? I can preach another one. Let my enemy die by fire. I just have to close this notebook and go to another page. Thank you. Hallelujah. I want us to pray, God. Lord, you said if my people are here, number one, okay, some of us are too proud. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just being honest with you. Some of us feel that we brought ourselves here. Sometimes you invite people to church and they tell you that I didn't come here to come and do church. Meanwhile, when they were coming here, they went to put their passport on the altar and they were praying and crying. It's so sad, though. Very sad. Oh, God. God. And when they got here, that's why humility is required for seekers. You can't be prayerful if you are proud, because if you are proud, then you think you can do it on your own. Then you don't need God to pray. He said, if my people that are called by my name, they will humble themselves. Humble ourselves through our worship. Humble ourselves through obedience. Just being sober and reflective about God. Humble ourselves through remembrance that many years ago, being in Canada was a prayer point. Remembrance. Some of us don't remember. Yeah, we don't remember. We're calling prophets, oh God. Lord, if you take us there, we'll take the nation for you. Lord, you know, there are too many Christians in Nigeria. Lord, take us there so that we can spread your gospel. We got here and then the gospel is in your pocket. Mercy, God. Can I tell you something, my dear? Our highest prosperity in this land is tied to if we can advance the cause of Jesus. There is nothing he will not give us if we make his interest our interest. There are lobbyists pushing for certain agenda. There are people who are able to gain access to certain offices that they will hitherto have never gained access because they belong to a certain agenda. I don't want to get into trouble here today. How much more the people of God? Can I tell you something? God is not unjust. We are the ones who are unfaithful. I'm telling you. And so many people are struggling. Even those who seem to be doing well, they are not doing too well. They are still, they are not having the peace required because sometimes the covenant that brought them here, they have shunned it. God is calling us back to himself. He's calling us back to humility, prayer, and intimacy. Can we lift up our voices and pray? Online. In person. Yeah. I'm available. I know I have needs, but I need you first.
Can you lift up your voice and pray? Now, Lord, I yield to you. I'm a yielded vessel. Can you lift up your voice? Badoshada. Lehaya Badoshe Penianta. Rapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapap according to your will in the mighty name of Jesus. My
In the name of Jesus. Please let's take our seats. You know, I wish that I came with a word that will make you jump. I wish that I came with a message that will say tomorrow by this time, you're going to be a billionaire. I wish that I came with a word that will say that tomorrow about this time, all your bills will be paid or your school loan will be written off. I wish that I came with a message that said that they will tell you not to pay your mortgage again. But I came to tell you, God is looking for you. He's looking for you. God is looking for you. God is looking for you to be his hand and his legs in this city. God is looking for you. You see, the African Christianity is miles wide and inches deep. Yeah. We are very loud. We are very visible. We gather crowds, but our people are not deep. Since I came to Canada, when I compare the attitude of the average Christian versus the Buddhists, the Hindus, like they incorporate their religion into everything. We are the only ones who shy away from our religion when we go out. Watch it. You think a Muslim will come to the office and in time for prayer and you come and tell them what? What would you tell them? It's time for prayer. You would have to respect their rule. A true disciple is a lifetime learner. I pray that you become a lifetime learner in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Paul said, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans 1, 1. Paul said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. A servant, a doulos, a bond servant, one that is bonded by covenant. You see, before a man will say that they have a public calling, they must have had a secret bond with God. And I want us to take, all of us take our eyes too much off waiting for a big program. Souls will be saved. And what has become revival in our days is when we gather with our favorite artists and our favorite apostles and we fill a stadium. That is revival. My question is, if that is true revival, how are people, why are people not truly changed? It's not, sometimes, not every time. Sometimes, some of those things are not different from a Michael Jackson concert. The reason I know is that you look at the bill and look at who is on it before you went. Is it hard preaching or is this okay? No, Audrey, tell me, Audrey. Huh? It's true. Okay, if Audrey says it's true, then the rest of you, I'm okay. You know, I'm just talking about how we would take dominion. If we don't become a people of God, you'll not give the city to us. You see,
Go there.
Man of God, do you know spirits are territorial? In every place, the dominant spirit is what most of the people said. So there are some countries when you go and most of the people are Muslims, Christianity has no say in that land. You don't understand. So your own breakthrough and dominion, there are certain places as a Christian, you can't be a boss, no matter how smart or intelligent you are. There are certain Arabian countries. You can come from Harvard, whatever. If you are not a citizen, you know what I'm talking about. If you are not a citizen of this, there are certain jobs you will not get. So I'm just trying my best to show you how promoting the interests of God in the long term actually promotes the interests of God's people. That if our God is lifted up, he will position us, he will promote us, he will put us in places where we can continue to lift his name up. Because spirits are territorial. And God said, I am a jealous God. Why does God's people abandon him? Bond servants. God is looking for people who are bonded. Lord, no matter how busy I am with you, I have a bond with you. Every week, I'll speak to one person about Jesus. They may reject me, but I've done my bit. A bond. What is your bond with God? When I enter Walmart, anybody smiles with me, that's your, if you smile with me, then you receive it. If you dare smile with me, over here, but people sell things to you. I was in Walmart yesterday. Somebody came and said, I want you to take a photograph for your daughter. I said, madam, I'm not ready to take a photograph. When I got out, it occurred to me that look at how bold somebody is to sell a product to me. And that's not a crime. But it's difficult for you to talk to somebody, be nice to them, create a rapport, and sell Jesus to them. That's not why you came today, right? So that changes this. You love it. Once you love it, the rest of them can go to bed. You know, God is looking for bond servants. He wants to build trust with people he can call his people. That once Audrey is in Audrey is in Edry. It's a laundry. Yeah. Once Audrey is there, my interest is secure. The truth of the matter is there's not many people looking out for the interests of God.
Not many people looking out for the advancement of the kingdom. All of us are too selfish with looking for a job, looking for a marriage, buying a new car, trying to get a mortgage, and that's how the enemy has distracted us. But listen, 6:33 of Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom. It doesn't change when you leave Ghana to Canada. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all, he didn't say all other things. Many people go to like, he said all these other things that people seek. All these other things shall be added unto you. Like I said, I don't want to share personal testimonies, but I can tell you for sure that I've seen the hand of God in North America in a very funny way when I decided to put God's interest first. I'm not advocating for don't work. I'm saying that in the midst of your life, make room for God, even if it's 15 minutes a day. That's what I'm saying. Is it too much to give your boss 8 hours and to give God 15 minutes? It's not fair. I didn't come to condemn you. I'm just trying to let us reason together as Christians. If the word of God will prevail, if this ministry will move forward, if this city will be saved, then we need men and women who want to stand for the interest of God. Amen. In Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Intimacy always precedes dominion. The Bible says, and he ordained 12. That's where my principle of 12 comes from. That they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. One of the signs that your secret place, your altar is hot, is that you can't go out and not talk about Jesus. The problem with many of our altars is filled with, oh God, what am I eating today? Like, we are not enjoying God. We go with too much pressure. Yeah. And it's a trap. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, what do you have to do? Make your request known unto God. God, my mortgage is almost due, and I don't know where help is coming from. The problem is passing on the request. Watch this. What happens after that? The Bible says, and the peace of God. So that request, that mortgage payment, that loan is no more your trouble. It's God's trouble. When we take care, when we prioritize God's need, our needs become his needs. I want us to, next week when we are coming here, I want us to prioritize, we are bringing somebody here. I'm not here to preach said growth. Me, I don't believe in those things. I believe in people growth. When people get to know God, you won't force them to win a soul. Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying that he called the 12 that they will be with. As the 12 spend time with him, then he sent them. So the reason why many people are not sent is because they've not been with him. May God restore your personal devotion.
And
sometimes you wake up in the morning and you want to pray. The moment you start praying, and a reminder will pop up. Quick, taekwondo fees. It's today, due today. All your prayers will vanish. That's how Babylon has entrapped us. But today you are rescued from the trap of Babylon.
And
I think God, before God created Adam, he made sure everything he needed was there. Yeah, he made a garden before he brought the man. God didn't bring you here without provision. The problem is you have not found where it is. I'm telling you, if God brought you here, he will take care of you. He said, look at the lilies of the valleys and the birds. Do they beg anybody to eat? How much more your heavenly Father? So God, sometimes we make God look very wicked. All of us included. We make God, our God looks very sorrowful and pitiful. But the problem is that because Bible says in James, draw near to me and I'll draw. Because we are so far from God, he's also kind of far from us. But when we make the chance, the step to approach him, then we feel God's presence. I've seen God come through. Oh my God. I don't know why something is holding me back from him. Man of God, I've seen God come through. I've seen God come through. I've seen God create systems. I've seen God create, send ravings. I've seen God arrange. I've seen God bring me to a place where for months I don't have to touch my salary. I've seen God. Because I prioritized him. I can't tell you how many times people have used the F word on me at Walmart. Because they came to smile. I didn't ask them. They came to, or they held the door for me. Oh, wow, thank you so much. What do you do? I'll just strike a conversation. The moment I get to the Jesus part, then the F word starts flowing. But I'm not shy. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's the power of God unto salvation. First, to the Jew. And then, to the Gentile. It's the power of God. When God sees you, when you are taking insults for him, he says, I owe this girl one. I owe this guy one. I owe them one. When you are praying for your friends, they are going. This week alone, I've had about 3 calls of people almost on the verge of suicide. 2 of them from the US, 1 of them from Canada. Look, man of God, I'm tired. And I'm on the phone for hours. And sometimes I can't save you from suicide. I just know the one who can save you. But at that time, it's not the time to preach to them. So I just make my ear available for them to vent. And for 2 hours, my phone is there on loudspeaker, and I'm just listening. One of them finished talking, said, am I talking too much? I said, no, go ahead, talk more. I understand what you're going through. Talk more. Can we make ourselves available for people? Serve people. Serve their children. And use that as a platform to show them the love of God and to invite them into the house of God. Please, we all have a work to do. I didn't come with a cumbersome message. I don't have any revelation in the spirit. I don't have a crocodile. If you see a crocodile, it means if you see a tortoise in your dream. I don't have any of those things. By the grace of God, we are blessed with the healing and prophetic gift, but that's not what I came here with. I can close my eyes and prophesy. But I believe strongly that God is looking for a people who call themselves my people. He can call my people. Then he can heal this land. And we are more than enough. The number of us in this room and the number of us on Zoom is more. If you like, try it. Give yourself 6 months. If it doesn't work, stop. And say, this 6 months, I'm going to be intentional about representing God wherever I go. Jesus prioritized keeping the disciples with him and sending them out. So it's inside out. So what I'm doing, I'm not pushing you to go and preach what you don't know. And you see, when you have spent time with God, you don't need to be an orator. Anybody who has spent intimate time, but there's always something about it. There's always an aura around you. God will always create circumstances around which people, you have a problem and people will come to you with the same problem and be seeking solution from you. Your rent is not paid and somebody's calling you to tell you they need rent. But that's God giving you a platform. You don't understand. It's your opportunity to show them to Jesus. My sister, we are all looking. I lift up my eyes onto the hill. You are looking in the wrong direction, my sister. Just let's all look together. That's your time to point them to the right direction. And then all of us will be all right. I hope I'm preaching them. Yeah, I'm telling you guys, let's make some more room for God. Let's make some more room for God. You know, it is this, our lack of personal devotion, that the pastors have captured on to create a commercial thing. So there's all these pray for me movements. Because you don't pray, so somebody will pray for you and they'll charge you. And sometimes somebody sees a roach in their dream and they are running to a pastor. Am I helping somebody that should go home? Stay with Jesus, they are disciples.
Then Jesus sent them, they became apostles. So you are an apostle of God, Audrey. You're an apostle of God. We must be very strategic, intentional about even befriending people in our workplaces beyond the work environment and using that friendship to gradually introduce them to the things of God. And please don't be afraid. Me, I've had an Indian try to introduce me to Hindu in this country before, an Uber driver that I picked from the airport. I was making a phone call. He was eavesdropping. He's like, I can see you are smart. I said, well, yeah, I'm trying. But I know Indians, then he just struck a conversation by giving me a compliment that I didn't deserve. But I didn't know. Then the next day he said, oh, I'll come and take you out for coffee. Then we began to talk. Tell me more about yourself. So who are you, man? It's like a very harmless conversation. Apparently the guy was trying to win me too. Oh, he kept coming from Calvary to Edrio. He kept coming. We go and start him watching. Talk. They introduced me to this business. GF something. Introduced me to some business where you make some investment group thing. I even paid some $100. I wish if the day I meet you, I'll collect my $100.
WFG.
World Financial Group. I don't know what I meant. Yeah. Introduced me to it, you know, so loving, so caring. At the time, I just moved to Edrie. I didn't know many people here. Alberta. When he knew that I'd not be long here, he capitalized on it. Then one day he said to me, so do I believe in God? I said, oh, yeah, my pastor. He didn't care. He didn't care. The next time he was just trying to tell me about Hamishra and some things happening. What is Hamishra? And just using some words, said, look, if you want to see your future, this is how you can see your future. I can help you. I said, hey. I'm serious. So you realize that those people have dominion in this land. Yeah, they do. Be honest. They do. If you do it with your God, will succeed. Yeah. The reason why the Israelites could not become any strong in Egypt was because the gods of the Egyptians were dominating. Even though they were people of God, they were under the authority of the Egyptian. When your God reigns, you will reign. Yeah, I'm telling you. So make yourself available for your God to reign through. Please, am I helping somebody at all? I don't know how much time when do we close?
8:30.
So I want us to pray a little bit. Let me share something with you and then we'll close. If you know about Ephesus, my first scripture that I read in Acts chapter 19, verse 20, it was a multicultural city like ours. Ephesus was a place where different people from different places, like Dubai, like New York. New York doesn't belong to anybody. Like Toronto. One day, I was in Edmonton in the United Kingdom, and I heard someone say, hey, Kwame, now you're in one apartment, and I could hear Ghanaians over there. And then my host told me that, oh, they even pump fufu, sometimes you hear. I said, wow. And then on the ground floor, you could see these Jews there with their what do you call that? The hats that they have a name they call it. I could see the Jews walking, different people. That was Ephesus. Just like the nation we live in. It was known for tourism, for trade, you know, for spiritual exchange. So you see, anywhere you see financial exchange, anywhere you see people going for economic migration and things, there is a spiritual thing back in it. So don't leave your God behind in the marketplace. You are not the person who goes to work and thinks we are the professional. For some people, the things they have done in their room before they go, there's nothing professional about it. I'm telling you, you can't compete with them because they came with a force. You can tell you are doing all the hard work, but nobody's pushing you.
And if you are unfortunate to find about 10 of them belonging to a certain group or tribe or culture in a place, then you are your own. You have to do 10 times more. I pray that the favor of God will speak for us.
Amen.
Yeah. Ephesus was known as the epicenter of multi-religions, multi-culture. The city was filled with magic, idols, and things. Something like where we are now. The country we are in now, all kinds of people have come in. But one man entered the city. One man entered the city. Not with a job title. I think here the ideal thing is when you work for the government, then you have arrived, right? He entered the city with the word of God. Apostle Paul came to Ephesus with nothing but the word. And yet, the word that he carried, it prevailed. Let me tell you something. If we can carry the word of God, this city will know nothing but our God. Oh, you are the only person saying amen, I love it. This city, your wife is my only church member. This city will know nothing but the word of God. I know we have problems. I know we have challenges. That's why I've addressed you. And I've told you where our problems sit as far as the word of God is concerned. Kept preaching and preaching. It was like people were not listening. Kept meeting every Friday. It's like it's not going to work. But as the thing kept going on with consistency and more prayer and hard work. And today we are going to pray for the city of Edry. You say amen. We are going to pray for Calgary. You say amen. Those of you online, you will not put your fire. If I was prophesying, you'll be excited. What started as a sermon became a movement. The word. One man today, two tomorrow, three, four, five, six. The entire city. In the book of Acts, the Bible speaks of these that turn the world upside down. I pray that we become men that God can use to turn this city upside down. Turn this city right side up. I do about it sometimes at night. And so when I see these young girls at night, so where are their parents? Where are their parents? The kind of things they are doing. You know? And we are not the moral police. But you see, he said, if my people seek my faith, I will change the hearts of the people. It's not our job to change people. It's our job just to be there as agents of change. It's God who changes people. Am I talking to somebody at all? What starts as a sermon can become a movement. God can do mighty things in our city through us if we allow room in our hearts for him. And our prayer today is that God, find room in my heart. That's all I came to ask you to do. That in your 24 hours, you go for a walk and seize an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus. The Jesus, not the Jesus your pastor spoke about. The Jesus you met in your personal devotion. And you see, I'm telling you, when you make yourself available like this, you'll be amazed that in the morning, like today, you quoted a scripture.
Luke 18.
About what?
Prayer.
What was this? I think your last scripture that you quoted, that was the scripture I was reading today before I came in. You realize that when you are in sync with God, he will bring, like, if you're going to meet somebody that needs a child, right, later in the day, God will bring you a scripture about maybe bearing a child or fruitfulness or something. And then you realize that by the time you have a worthy season for that person. That's the beauty of spiritual intimacy. My brother, it will be that you may, like, you have done some business, you lost money. There's somebody who call you and say, look, I've lost all my money. And yet, you find some strength. I don't know how many of you have experienced it. You found some strength and courage to encourage them. And when you finish, you go and continue your crying. That's the beauty of spiritual intimacy. It empowers you. The second thing I want us to know before we pray, guys, is that the word of God can grow. Yeah, the word grew. The word of God and preached it out.
The word grows itself, and the word grows the hearers.
The Bible says that from your youth, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to build you and give you an inheritance among them that are saved. It's able to build you up. The word can grow and grows the hearers. Yeah. The word of God is a fertilizer of itself and a fertilizer of men. The word of God can mature you. The word of God can improve your emotional intelligence in the workplace. I remember I have a daughter in Ghana, and she used to fight with her boss a lot because she can write English. The boss set a trap, and then she went respond with love, appraisal time. So she came and said, "Papa, my promotion is not coming." And the Lord began to speak to me. And I said to her, I said, "How's your relationship with your boss?" So, "Well, it's cordial." I said, "No, it's not. What I'm seeing is like, it's like there's a tension. I saw your boss standing on one side, and I saw you standing and you were talking, but there was a wall, like a partition, like this in between this room. And it's like two people are talking. In the vision, I see one person standing and they are talking, but they can't hear each other." He said, "Well, he's been giving me trouble," and I got angry. And sometimes he makes me so angry, so I send him a stinker. And then I said, trouble. And we began to pray. The Lord gave me a direction. And I showed her. I said, "Look, go and buy this thing, go and give it to you." "No, Papa, you can't tell me I respect you. Can't tell me to do anything else, but not to give." And that guy also belonged to another religion. Sometimes wisdom. The lack of wisdom can keep you one place for a long time. I said, "Okay, that's what God has told me. If you don't do it, it's fine." Went back, came after a month, said, "Papa, I'm ready to do it." I said, "Go and do it. Go and give him a gift." The scripture the Lord gave me for that direction was, "The gift of a man shall make room for him." I said, "This gift will make room in the heart of your boss for you." Guess what? Not too long after that, some things happened and there was a major shakeup. When the boss was supposed to resign or leave, guess who the boss said can fill his shoes? My daughter. She didn't get one promotion. She got three steps up. When you dedicate your, if you can only have time for God and listen to him, some of the things we are chasing, they will come to us. He said, three jumps up, three. Started acting in the position and then was later confirmed. The only reason why the boss didn't like you is because you're too standoffish. And if you could have listened to God and just play, at least just pretend to be a fool for a few minutes. Just discern. The problem is that many of us have not been with God long enough for him to be used. Now where she's sitting, she cannot be able to influence policy on behalf of Christ. God wants you to do well, I'm telling you. You think you want to do better than God wants you to do? You don't know. He said, "I know the plans that I have concerning you. They are plans of good and not evil." What's the best plan you can have for yourself? Some of us wrote things on January 1, 31st. Ask yourself, how many of them have you done? Yeah, this God's plan that will stand. The Bible said, "Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's only the purposes of God." Me, I'd rather find what God is doing and I would do that too, not what I plan. Yeah. You can plan. I remember when I was a young guy, I said that by 28, I'll buy a private jet. I still have that book. I guess the jet I have is the one I do with paper and throw it. That's a paper jet. Yeah. I said I'll buy a private jet. A private jet.
Yes.
How many of you had some lofty dreams? They will come to pass.
Amen.
But seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. Please, I want us to be intentional about it. That this week, my to-do list, I will go to Walmart and get some of you. If we should really weigh your heart, groceries is above God in your heart. They all start with G. And it said, the second letter is O. But the other one is S and like groceries, like the amount of space in your brain that groceries occupy is more than the amount of space in your brain that God occupies, I'm telling you. Like you plan for your groceries, you fold your clothes, all of that, but you have no plan for God in your week. The word of God can grow if we make room. And that's our second prayer. Lord, I'm not just available for you. I'm making room in my heart for your word to, one, grow me. Number two, grow in me. Number three, grow with me. Number four, grow through me. Grow in you, the word of God changes you. Grow with you, the word of God matures you. Grow through you, the word of God through you changes other people. Yeah. Yeah. Because of you, somebody say, oh, I didn't know this. I know. So one, that's one of my, look, thank God for the gift of prophecy. Mention people's name, say their phone number, those things. I go for meetings, go and preach in the US, and people fall down and they vomit. The next time you see them, they say the same problem, they have it again. You do an altar call, they will come. I've seen this thing. I've not been in ministry for long, but I've seen over. I realize that even prayer really doesn't change people. It's when we connect people to God directly through intimacy. Now, the gift does not change people. God changes men. Yeah. Am I talking to somebody at all?
Yes, sir.
For any plant to grow, it must first take roots downwards. So for the word of God to grow in you, you need to let the word of God dwell in you richly. That's what he said to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He said, this book of the law, how do I let the word grow in me so that it will grow with me and it will grow through me? Joshua 1, 8 is your answer. This book of the law, watch this. This is how the word of God can grow you. Shall not depart from your mouth. So house prices are going. It's today that I saw that rent prices in Edry is higher than rent prices in Calgary. Do you know?
Mm.
Yeah, Edry is surpassing Calgary in rent prices. I think the demand here versus the supply here is. So you could get a 3-bedroom, 2-bath or 2.5-bath for like 2,300, 2,400 in Edry. The same thing. The same thing, if you want it in Calgary, you can get it for like 2,100. So prices are going up, but the word of God doesn't depart from your mouth. What has God said about your welfare? He said, I'll not be the tail, I'll be the head and not the tail. You want to repeat what God has said about you? You shall meditate, you shall think about it, day and night. And then you do it, what he says. Then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will find good success. So there's bad success. Bad success is success that doesn't last. If you manipulate people and you try your best, like you're trying to create an impression, it doesn't last. Good success is, he's talking about permanent success. God will put you in a place where you don't have to apply for a job anymore. You can have one job that profile can open any job for you. Yeah. God is watching. Say, God, I said, this is my daughter. I'm going to give her a job that, if you have served as a mayor of a city before and you are no more a mayor and you apply for a job, who's going to ask you a question? If you have, there are certain places God can put your feet that there's no room you cannot enter. May God plant our feet there in the name of Jesus. I said, may God plant our feet there in the name of Jesus. Yeah. If you meditate on the word of God and observe to do what is written in it, look at that. This is the key to prosperity for the believer. I realize that many a successful man always have very strict principles they abide by. Unfortunately, the reverse is true for many Christians who don't have any principle they work by. I listen to a lot of billionaire podcasts. They all have this weird. Some of them go and pick them from Eastern religions, all those philosophies they go. It's only Christians that we freestyle. We have no nothing. And I'm saying God has to grow this city. God's word can advance in this city through us if we can make room for the word. God wants to grow you and use you to grow the city. Yeah. But you must start with your commitment. Please rise up on your feet. I'm not going to preach everything I have. I want us to pray a little bit. I want us to pray.
Friends,
I wish I could tell you, preaching to you today, that I have all my problems solved. I wish so that I can prove to you that God is with me and he's not with you. But I'm saying this to you. The same God and the same struggles. But I have found the answer and I'm sharing with you. That I've also found that in the midst of our struggles, when we make room for God, he changes things. I've also found that God has an agenda. And his agenda, oh my God. I just saw an angel in this room. Okay, let me not do weird stuff. It's okay. Let's pray.
Ah, I wish I had a keyboard here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Nah.
Hallelujah.
Nah.
Can we begin to worship God? Can we begin to bless his name? Can we begin to bless you? Oh my God. Oh my God, you're here. You are here. You are here. Talk to him anyhow you want. From your heart, just talk to him. Online, in person, just talk to God. Ancient words, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, Lord. So let's all at and changing, my God, we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the nations rise. I want us to pray. My time is very limited. I want us to pray, and then I believe that God has a word for somebody in this room, and I'm going to share the word with you. And then we'll be out of here. Please, is it possible to pause the YouTube? There are some of the things I'm going to say that I wish that they are not on public platforms. Yeah. Maybe after the prayer. Our only prayer, I have only one prayer point. Lord,